Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 6 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kunze. We got data this week. We got Sibanye strikes over. We got Jamie Dimon warning of an economic hurricane. Chatting with David Tiltman, CEO of AME. Strong results, changing trends in advertising. And then chatting with the National Automobile Dealers Association, trying to get a sense on how vehicle sales are going. Of course, that plays into a couple of areas. One is fleet demand. So tourism, the other, of course, combined motor holdings, motors and the like. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headline from MoneyWeb: government asked to review all Glencore mining licenses and contracts. It's a fair shout when you've paid $1 billion plus for fine for corruption. I don't know. Have a look around. Business Day: up to $800 billion may exit SA after change to offshore asset rules. This came out of the budget in Feb when the finance minister changed Reg 28. It's not just that he increased the offshore limit to 45%, but it no longer had a restriction of Africa and then rest of world. It's just 45% rest of world. Morning markets: US was red on Friday. Nasdaq off 1.6%, and Nasdaq down 2.7%. Asia mixed. We've got Sydney down a third, Tokyo up a third. Commodities also mixed. Gold, $1,858. Brent, $121.08 a barrel. Platinum, $1,027. Palladium, $2,024. Rand, $15.51 against the dollar. Top 40 looking for a green open, but 0.5% higher, 330 points. That as Tencent trades up 0.4% in the lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kunze, Senior Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning. The Sibanye Stillwater gold strike is over. I mean, the share's been under some pressure, but I suspect it's probably a lot more than maybe just the strike. But short on some, I mean, good news to that workers can get back to work, earning salaries, and Sibanye can start producing gold.
Yeah, morning, Sam. That's entirely right. You know, we're used to it in South Africa as investors and mining companies. You have this sort of the strike season coming and going. But Sibanye Stillwater seemed a little bit more acrimonious and obviously not helped by Mr. Froneman's small little paycheck increase and share options didn't help. So I think they are a little bit of their own worst enemy in this particular case. But that is pretty much good news now. And I think they took light from AngloGold Ashanti and a few others where they reached quite a simple solution this year round. But finally, back to work and hopefully taking advantage of this gold price too.
Yeah, gold's still holding. I mean, not above 2,000, but certainly holding. Jamie Dimon, Chief Executive Officer, JP Morgan Chase, talking, I think it was Thursday evening in the US, talking about an economic hurricane happening. Is he, I mean, in essence, he should know what he's talking about, but is that alarmist or is this something, to sit up and take note of?
Well, I think you do take notice of it, Simon. I mean, he's, you know, in charge of a bank, which is arguably the you know, US's biggest bank, biggest lender. I think his comments do certainly carry some weight. Although I think what caught a lot of investors who follow him was a little bit of a sort of a flip-flop, because a few weeks before that, he was not nearly as bearish as he has been. But, I mean, he mentioned all the stuff that we know, you know, oil imports, war in Ukraine, etc. But the part they didn't show is when he finished off his speech, he said he hoped it ends okay, and he says, who the hell knows? So, you know, obviously the press focusing on the first part, but he's right though. I think we're in for choppy waters the next 6 to 12 months, definitely.
And that who the hell knows statement, 100%. I mean, we've seen Elon Musk wanting to cut staff. We've seen Microsoft reducing their forward guidance. In essence, if you were CEO of a company right now, caution's the word.
Definitely. I mean, we're heading into, I mean, the world's taken a 180-degree flip, right? I mean, we've literally gone from low inflation to high inflation, from low interest rates to rising interest rates and all above, from back from, you know, high growth stocks to value shares. And everything has taken a 180-degree turn. So I guess if you were a CEO sitting on your hands and doing nothing, you're going to get it wrong, because you have to make changes because the world has certainly pivoted right around.
You mentioned inflation there. We've got U.S. inflation out on Friday. We were a year down from the idea that this was perhaps going to be transitory. It my sense is, I mean, the first big number was April of last year. That was 4.2%. The first number that kind of spooked the market. By May, we were in the 5.3, 5.5% ranges. It should be coming down, but it isn't, and therefore it is here for a while longer.
Yeah, I mean, locally, I presume you're talking about, yeah, that's definitely, and definitely gonna, it's probably gonna knock around that, the upper band of 6%. And, you know, our Saab has been, always been sort of a uber hawkish, and I certainly maintain they're gonna stay that way. You know, they need to be ahead of the curve when it comes to the developed markets. And I think they have been. I think they've called this quite right. But yeah, it doesn't make for easy reading, especially if you're a consumer living a little bit on the edge from month to month. Life is going to become more expensive, and inflation, I certainly think that transitory, you know, rubbish is out the window. It's here and it's sticky and it's going to be here for a while.
Yeah. And I just pulled up the value versus growth story in the US. Value up 9.5% year to date, growth down 10.5%, a solid 21% outperformance by the value space. We'll leave that there. That's Nick Kunze, Senior Portfolio Manager, Sunlam Private Wealth. And that's our question today around that comment from Jamie Dimon, talking around a coming economic hurricane. Do you think he's on track, or is perhaps he overblowing it? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Dave Tiltman. He's CEO of African Media Entertainment, AME. Disclaimer up front, AME owns MoneyWeb. Year-end results to March, revenue up 25%. Headline earnings up almost 230%. A 2 rand dividend versus a rand the year before. And cash on hand, 91 million. That with a market cap of 266 million. Dave, appreciate the early morning. A very strong year for the business. Obviously bounced back from pandemic. Are your different business units back at pre-pandemic levels yet?
Morning, Simon. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I would say almost. I think some of the businesses are slightly ahead of pre-pandemic numbers, but our radio assets are trailing slightly, and I firmly believe that during the course of the next financial year, we'll be able to exceed those numbers.
I imagine particularly during lockdown, during the 2020 lockdowns, to a degree as in 2021 as well. Listeners, if anything, I mean, were you picking up listeners? We couldn't go anywhere. We were stuck at home, and eventually we had watched our way through Netflix. We had gone to the bottom of the Google searches. Did listenership gain much?
It hasn't really. I mean, I think radio has really been a leader in the media industry in terms of being a friend during COVID. Mm-hmm. But the numbers, unfortunately, haven't grown, not in our stable, significantly. I think one of the key reasons for that has been the radio measurement surveys, which changed a couple of years ago, and new research methodology was introduced. And the BRC that's managing that is still trying to tweak the system. So it's an ongoing issue in the industry, unfortunately. So it's more to do with the methodology than the actual radio station's performance. But I'm hoping that they're able to sort that out in the near future, as it is a concern to the whole industry, as we need to give the numbers to the advertising industry themselves.
I want to touch that in a second. Something I did also pick up from the results, that your Goa FM has been added to the multi-choice DSTV audio bouquet. Does that pick up significant listenership? I had DSTV, but I never used to use the audio bouquet. I did it the old-fashioned way. But I imagine there's some folks, perhaps particularly who not in the catchment area, who would use it.
Yeah, I mean, when I was running Algoa for a number of years, it was one of the things that we always wanted to achieve. At that time, it was quite expensive to get the signal from the Eastern Cape up to Johannesburg for the requirements. But that has all changed now, so it's quite cost-effective to do it. The guys have introduced it. There certainly is a number of listeners out there who enjoy the product, through that bouquet. But, I mean, it's not going to be huge numbers. Also, the NCB doesn't really provide the measurements. But I think that's a work in progress as well. And tying into the earlier conversation around the PRC is looking at including digital numbers into the radio audience numbers in the future. So it is going to be a way to boost your terrestrial numbers that you get off the radio receiver via telephone or the other digital means. So I think it is a nice to have for Algoa. So I think it's quite exciting in a way.
The last 2 years, the pandemic, I mean, it's upended everything, and our shopping patterns have changed, our travel patterns and everything. Have we seen sort of adapting, or maybe shifts in the broader advertising space, sort of trying to keep up with how things have changed during the last 2 years during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think, the agencies of always trying to be creative and innovative in the way that they push their products on air. And certainly, if you look at our numbers across the radio and radio group as well as MoneyWeb, you can see that there's definitely been a push towards digital. So, that's quite exciting for us. And I think that, for me, has been key to my strategy moving forward for AME, is to create a proper digital strategy for the group. We call it All Things Audio, and MoneyWeb certainly leading the way in that front.
And this is partly, I mean, I imagine, response to pandemic, but also partly just response to the change we've seen with digital over, truthfully, over the last couple of decades.
Yeah, for sure. And, to just look at what we're currently introducing in the digital space, I mean, it's great to have a morning show that's also a podcast that one can listen to in the morning. And then that particular show, and it's yours as well, has done incredibly well from a revenue perspective. And sponsorship perspective, the radio stations are obviously looking at podcasting opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've just recently, last Monday, introduced our first of our new streaming platforms called Simply Smooth, which is now available as a free app as well to download. So this is a very exciting space for us to play, and we're looking at growing the revenue and the digital side over the next 24 months.
Is there space, and I know this was tried 10 or so years ago, a pure online-only radio, and a lot of them tried, I think they were too early, they never really worked. Is there space perhaps in time for an online-only or perhaps an online-first audio offering?
Exactly. So it's part of our All Things Audio strategy. Part of our group as well is that we have digital platforms, which is based in Bloemfontein. It's part of Central Media Group of ours, which includes OFM. So we just signed up digital platforms internally to build our AME player, which is at this point named Listen. And we're looking at launching it in the next quarter, at the end of the next quarter. So, yeah, and on this player, we'll be able to include all our current brands. The screens, the popular radio signals, the website, the podcasting. And I think it's very exciting. And we also have a number of clients that we sell for through United Stations, our sales house, that will also be included into that portfolio. I mean, recently we signed up Smile as a client, who's at Cape Town commercial radio station. So, yeah, I think we're going to be able to populate our player with some really great product and some new innovative stuff as well. And hopefully you guys at MoneyWeb will be able to eventually come up with a full day sleep.
Dave Tortman, we'll leave it there. The CEO of AME. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs. no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mark Domasar, chairperson of the National Automobile Dealers Association. Mark, appreciate the early morning time. May vehicle sales out. The trend continues rising sales happening in South Africa. The question, I suppose, is are we seeing some pent-up demand? Is there evidence that these are folks who perhaps would have bought a car in 2020, perhaps even 2021, but simply couldn't get out the house because of lockdowns and are now coming a couple of years later to renew vehicles?
Hi, Simon. That's a really interesting question, so thank you very much. You know, sometimes we also sort of scratch our heads as to where demand is coming from, because the market is so dynamic and there's so many different things happening to the economy and we're hitting so many bubbles. One of the things I can put it down to is really good value in the mid segment, which is really the subcompact SUV mm-hmm. segment. And the value there is just frightening in terms of what somebody can get for 250,000 to 350,000 rand and the value they can get in a car. Also, even though interest rates are climbing, we still have had very low interest rates for quite some time now. And at the end of the day, as the main mode of transport in South Africa, people need new cars. It's just one of those things. So from that perspective, the cost of ownership versus value does present quite a good opportunity for buyers. And like you have said, after a bit of stability, despite everything going on in the world, certainly some delayed purchases are being seen now, definitely in the new car segment.
And I was going to ask you next if people are buying down, but you're suggesting, yes, maybe buying down in terms of price, but not necessarily in terms of value for money or quality that they're getting.
Definitely. And I think as an added bonus, however, those vehicles are very very frugal on petrol or diesel. So, you know, 1.5 litre turbos nowadays, you're getting sort of 6 litres per 100, you know, if you drive nicely, you know, so 6, 7 probably. But anything under 8 is very solid. But those small sort of subcompact cars, you know, you can get really, really good rate. And there's everything in the car. I mean, it's CarPlay / Android Play. It's, aircon, it's driving features like adaptive features and stuff like that. So the tech and the safety elements of the vehicles are brilliant.
Yeah, as that tech sort of works its way down. I remember watching cars from, you know, when windows were windy and only fancy cars had automatic windows, and now everyone gets normal windows.
Absolutely, everyone gets a window, yeah, and a rearview mirror. Yeah,
including the folks in the back seat. Rental fleets also buying, which you know, they're 7.9% of May's sales. And that, in a roundabout way, says, I mean, they're restocking, and I appreciate they destocked significantly during the pandemic, but they're obviously buying in anticipation of some tourists coming through, both internal and foreign.
Very, very much so. The rental story is actually a very good one. As of last month, we were 20% up on purchases. This month, a little bit less, about 17%. Mm-hmm. But that's with choked demand. So the rental companies are actually trying to buy more. They just cannot get supply. Right now, the OEMs are really supplying more dealers. So if the rental companies could buy more cars, they'll probably buy double, which is a fantastic indicator for our economy that there's a huge amount of activity, as you say, locally and on the tourist side. So we're probably going to see rental companies fleet up significantly in the last half of the year for the summer season, for tourism. But they are certainly a very high utilization rate, which is a great economic indicator.
But the challenge remains simply supply. I mean, I chat with Motus, I chat with Combined Motor Holding,
right.
And the issue is simply getting the cars.
Absolutely, and so many things are playing a factor to that. We talk about the chips. It's not only that. The global logistics crisis or logistics constraints that we are facing right now is really, really frightening. Cost of shipping, cost of containers, rand dollar, and also our strategic location is not optimal for shipping of goods, where we are, where we sit in the world physically in South Africa. So those constraints are very, very big. And the whole China situation is not helping.
Yeah.
And then the supply chain, where all those manufacturers get their parts from all over the world, and a lot of that is related to China, makes a really, really big problem.
Yep, and we'd all hoped it would be gone by this time of 2022, but that patently not the case. Mark Domasar, Chairperson, National Automobile Dealers Association, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. A poll which we were asking on Friday, we were chatting with Mateta Tulari about the announcement from OPEC Plus to bring forward production increases to try to deflate soaring oil prices. We asked if it would work. A quarter of you said, nope, OPEC is irrelevant, particularly seen as OPEC Plus includes, well, Russia. A third of you said they can pump plenty, while half of you were saying, you know what, we just hope so. And I think that's where many of us sit, with petrol at, what, almost 24 rand a litre. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Nicole Tetzetzo, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking trends in retirement.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.